It's time!
A shot broken up in front, and what a slick backhand try right in front of Chris Mason. And now the quick pass down the middle, breaking in, and the backhand stopped by Chris Mason. And Marlowe with a 2-on-1, a 3-on-1, and what a stop by Mason. Chichu right in front, and what a stop on Ekblom by Mason.
And goal number 3, Chris Mason.
Are you ready?
We are. Should be. Anybody would be. After hearing that, that should get you pumped up. Final hour. Darren Donica Chase on this gorgeous Wednesday. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. We are live here at Nissan Stadium. The huge announcement made earlier today by the National Hockey League and the Nashville Predators. Stadium Series rolling into town on February 26th here at Nissan Stadium in 2022. Tampa Bay has never been a part of an outdoor game, and the Predators have never hosted an outdoor game, and that is all going to change in late February. Chris Mason is on the line with us, Willie's partner in the booth on television, former goaltender of the Preds. C. Mace, what's up?
Not too much. Not too much. Just hanging out, doing stuff around the house and running errands and all that kind of fun stuff on an off day.
Yeah, it's what a beautiful day to be doing that, right?
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Absolutely gorgeous. So all of us got to take in the spectacle that was the Winter Classic in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl not too long ago, and just see that scene. And now we can start, you know, envisioning what it's going to be like in our own city, what it's going to be like where we're sitting right now. And, man, it's going to be awesome, isn't it?
All right, it's going to be unbelievable. And, you know, Nashville and the Preds, they set a standard. I remember you know, when they had the All-Star game here, and I got a chance to talk to fans from all over the place that had been to, you know, there's the fans that go to every All-Star game and every event, and they said they'd seen nothing like it. They've been to everything, and Nashville blew it all away. So I know that they're going to do it again, and I just can't wait to be a part of it. I don't know at what capacity I'll be involved, but I think it'll be in a fan capacity. So to see it at Nissan Stadium and see this city and Smashville do what it does best is going to be pretty darn special.
Mace, we'll find some work.
I was
going to
say, in a fan capacity, I think we can
put you to work.
We can put you and Willie to work on the radio side of things.
Well, maybe we could do a half and halfer.
That'd be okay. Mace is like, no, I'm good.
As a fan with a Cotton Bowl, Lindsay, Crispy, and everybody up in we were up in a section. We had a blast. So I could do a 50-50 split. I'm down with that.
We had Willie down there working ringside,
yeah,
man.
I enjoyed that.
It's pretty cool. Got a chance to catch up with UC Saros last night in postgame at Patron Platinum Club. And what do you make? By the way, L.A. was coming late in the game. Boy, he had some big saves in the final 30 seconds to preserve the win.
Well, he was awesome. And, you know, I think it's kind of funny sometimes. I don't know if we take him for granted. I think everybody knew if this team was going to be competitive this year and fight for a playoff spot, you're going to need Saros to play the way that he played last year. And so far he has. He's been impressive. I love the guys, the way that they defend around him. I don't feel like they're giving up through the first three games many grade A opportunities. Yes, there is going to be some. I mean, that 1-2-on-1 save he made in the second period was phenomenal, but I think the guys are really doing a great job in the defensive zone and protecting him. And a lot of those rebound situations or scramble situations, you got five guys blocking shots, tying up sticks, getting that puck out of there and really making it hard for other teams to get any freebies or a lot of quality secondary opportunities. But at the end of the day, you know, Juice is getting it done. He's making big saves. And as you mentioned, the timely saves when they need him to be there. And you know, he's off to a good start, and that's one of the things, you know, we wondered. This is his first full, you know, start to the season where it's just his job, and, you know, in his short career so far, he's been a perennial kind of slow starter, but not this year. You know, he's looked great. He looks like mid-season form, like he finished the season off last year, so he's been great, and he was awesome last night.
Take us through let's do the two. There's two sequences I'm gonna throw your way, and
You tell us and our listeners what that's like as a goalie. So you brought up the two-on-one. Let's talk about that. You know, when the play is happening live, you're thinking, oh, my. When the pass happens, it's like, oh, no, he's backdoor. You know, that's spelling trouble. But obviously, UC slid over there and came up with a huge save. As a goalie, what is that like whenever the pass comes across and nobody's home but the opposition? And you've got to get over there as quick as possible?
Well, you know, back in the day, like a long time ago, it used to be the rule was, all right, the goalie's got the shooter and the defenseman has backdoor. Well, you know, that's old ancient mythology. Nowadays, you're responsible for everything. Every shot that you get, you're ready for. You're responsible for. So in that situation, obviously, he's got a rush coming in. He's got to identify while the shooter's coming down, take a quick peek at the back door and see where he is. And then once that pass is made, if it's made, you can't cheat over because, you know, you're responsible first and foremost for where the puck is. Mm-hmm. That shooter has the puck. And then it's the angle back that he takes, and it's the precision and quickness that he's able to react. And he gets over there. I mean, that was a tap-in goal. And his ability to rotate, go back to the post in a sense and get to that center angle, and then he almost pushes out with his pad there, so it makes it a lot harder for that shooter to get the puck up in the air because he just goes right to that stick blade and smothers the puck. And the quickness and the speed that he does it with is he's one of the best technical goaltenders in the National Hockey League, and he makes those saves. You know that everybody in the building knew that was an incredible save. He made that look, you know, relatively easy given that circumstance. So he's just a phenomenal athlete. He really is a special goaltender in terms of his technical abilities. And the one thing is his ability to repeat, you know, those same movements on every situation and be in control of his body. And that was just massive.
Speaking of the quickness, so the play at the end, it was in the final 20, 30 seconds, and he is just all over the place. He's out of the net completely. He's out of position, and the puck is bouncing around everywhere. And then eventually he just falls forward on top of it, which I'm sure he was relieved and prayed and hoping that, you know, it was under there, that he was on top of it. What is it like when you're out of the net and you've got this mad scramble, bodies are everywhere, the puck is bouncing around everywhere, you're trying to bat away, you're trying to stay with a crazy play, and then eventually you're able to just fall face forward on top of it and end the play. Take us through that, you know, as a goalie.
Well, first of all, it's a panic situation. You know, they've got the goalie pulled. They've got an extra attacker out there. Everybody's around the net. But again, in that situation, I think it was Arvidsson was out to the side of the net. And he's trying to shovel it back or bank it off Juice or get it to the front of the net where his teammates are. And Juice's ability, he slides over. He's aggressive on Arvidsson, but he digs his edge in. And then he pushes back to the net. You know, so many goaltenders would have a tough time of overcommitting to that shot and then, you know, not even be back in the net or in the crease to allow himself to cover that puck. But again, you really have to credit the guys on the ice because LA had probably three guys, maybe four, come into the front of that net. And they tied up the sticks. That puck was loose and it dropped kind of right in the middle of the bodies. And because the guys did such a great job of keeping position, kind of boxing guys out from getting to that area, and the guys that were in, they had their sticks tied up. So that gave, you know, that gave Juice probably an extra half second or a second to find that puck, you know, in the skates and cover it up. So I really think, you know, you listen to John Hines and last year he's preaching, you know, details. It's the details in the defensive zone. That's how we're going to win hockey games. The guys get it now. The guys understand how they have to play. They understand what this team has to do in order to win. And that's a prime example. I mean, guys are blocking shots. You know, Sissons, Carrier, these guys are playing some hockey. You know, they're not the most talented offensive team. They're probably not going to score, you know, four, five, six goals a night. You know, few and far between. They're going to have to win those games, the 2-1 hockey games, the 3-2 games. You know, the game that we saw against Carolina, which they played really well in, and came up short. They followed up with a gem. And I just think that this team, you know, understands what kind of team they are, and you have everybody doing it. And it's been really nice to see, you know, Johansson, Duchesne, and Forsberg contribute in a big way in that regard as well. And it's nice to watch a team that knows what to hang their hat on and what they are and what their identity is. And they went out and they followed up a really good game against Carolina with an even better one against LA, and a game that, you know, they had to have. You know, we'd be sitting here saying, well, they played good, but they lost 2-1 and this and that. And, you know, that gets old after a while. At the end of the day, you got to find ways to win. And last night they did.
Chris Mason is with us. And Mace, along the lines of the identity, you know, a guy, and you've mentioned him a lot, but I remember a couple years ago we were talking about maybe a missing ingredient on the bench was that assistant coach that is the energy guy, a former player, less removed from the game. I don't know that you could have picked a better guy than Dan Hynote, at least the way it appears that he has made his mark on this team. You call him the Eagle Claw. I don't know where that comes from. Maybe you can share with us where that came from. But, man, he is such an eye-popper on the bench. You can't not notice him.
Well, that's his thing. That's how he played the game. You know, he's not that far removed from being a player himself. So I think, you know, as a player, he can really connect with the guys on the team, and they can relate to him. And, you know, he's got a great sense of humor, and he's just really always positive and upbeat and, but also serious when he needs to be. He's a very good speaker, and he's just one of those guys. He's got an aura, you know, an energy about him, and you know, he's big on that, and he's big on positive reinforcement, building people up, and you know, creating a culture of, you know, just that warrior mentality and just the energy and the passion. And you can see him on the bench. We got a good clip of him doing that. And you know, last year he took the guys that we call the herd by now under his wing and really, you know, kind of presented them that they had a great opportunity here to, you know, to not only, you know, make a name for yourself with the Nashville Predators, but as an NHLer and establish yourself, and kind of said, this is the way that you're going to have to do it. And we haven't had, you know, players or a line like that for a long time, or an identity. And now you can see the rest of the team, everybody's kind of taken that on. And you look at this team and they're hard to play against. You know, defensemen do not want to have the puck chip behind them and have Sissons, Trennan, and Janot coming after them. You know, there's a lot of other guys in the lineup that do that as well, but, you know, those guys in particular, you know, are kind of Dan Hynote's babies in the way that John Hines wants this team to play. And I just think that they've got such a good balance of personalities on the coaching staff. You know, Todd Richards, he's that kind of, you know, head coach experience. He can be the voice when John Hines doesn't want to go in there, and maybe he's talked to the team a little too much and he needed a different voice. Dan Lambert's, you know, quiet, soft-spoken, you know, an intellect of the game, and he can go in there and do that. And then you have Dan Hynote. He's the energy guy. He comes in and he pumps him up, and, you know, guys are happy to see him, and he's got that kind of relationship. Maybe he can, you know, talk a little more on a personal level with the guys. So I really think that, you know, they've got great balance in that coaching staff. And you know, one thing I love about John Hynes, and you don't often see head coaches give a lot of credit to their staff individually because they do all the media, but he gives each one of those guys, and Dan Hynote as well, just a lot of credit for what they do and the roles that they've carved out for themselves.
I can't stop watching the clip of Tanner Janot just bowling over Drew Doughty, and the lead-up was even better because there was that game within the game going on of the veteran Doughty, a tough, hard-nosed guy that usually isn't getting pushed around, and a rookie, and, you know, Doughty wanted to put him to the test, but boy, did Janot stand up to the test. Now, what did you call him, Mace, on the Twitter? Captain Insano?
Captain Insano. That's a water boy quote. You know, how many times have you seen, you know, Drew Doughty, you know, line guys up in the neutral zone? He's so good at the timing of that and when to do it, when not to. And, you know, he had Janot in his mind dead to rights. And, you know, it's, I guess, what's the saying? You don't know until you know? Well, he put that out there, Willie. Well, now he knows. He knows, you know, he did it to Alexiak. And you don't see many guys, you know, receiving a pass and be able to dish out a body check like that, or skating with the puck and, you know, the defender thinks he has you lined up, and Alexiak last year, and he just ran right through him. You know, this kid is strong, and we're, you know, the league's starting to take note of that. And again, it's an element that it changes the way your opponent plays. It really does. You know, next time the guys are going to think twice about stepping up on the neutral zone. So what does that do? Well, they stay back, and that allows Janot to handle the puck and make a play and get through the neutral zone. Or you go back, you chip it in into the defensive zone, and the defensemen hear those footsteps, and they know that that line is out there. Well, they're not going to get the puck and do a tight turn and try to skate up the ice and move that puck. They're rimming it around the boards for their wingers to handle it, and then you got Trenton coming down the other side, you know, cutting that puck off. And it really changes the way the opponent plays against you. And you can see it in the games. If they can get to their forecheck early, you start to see a lot of turnovers in the defensive zone with some very talented teams. You saw it against Carolina, who's probably one of the best transition teams in the National Hockey League, and they were turning the pucks over left and right because nobody wants to get hit.
Mace, I'm noticing something, and I heard Hal talking about this some on the postgame show last night, but some of the forwards that are killing penalties are new faces. Luke Cunning's getting in there some. Rocco Grimaldi getting some penalty kill time. We've been talking about Tanner Janot. He's killing penalties now. Trenton is in there some. And I think back to what a problem the penalty kill has been for this team the last couple of years. You know, it's early, but it looks like they're gaining a little more confidence. They got burned in the first game against the Kraken. And since then, they've really settled in and done well. But what do you think of some of these new guys and what they're bringing?
I think they're bringing what they do 5-on-5. It's just, you know, the word that this team is using right now is they're connected. They want to be connected. And in order to have a successful power play, you have to be connected in terms of in the defensive zone. When one guy goes on a bobble puck, or if somebody is, you know, they're passing the puck on the outside, if one guy goes, you need support. I noticed a lot of times last game, there'd be battles in the corner, and you'd have, you know, two LA Kings there, for example. Well, you'd have three Predators over right there pressuring. You don't let that guy get control of the puck. And, you know, a lot of times when we go against good penalty kills, that's exactly what they do. They're extremely aggressive. Once a team gets set up, there's so much skill, you have to get back in your structure, and you have to defend the middle and try to keep the plays to the outside and give up the, you know, the least dangerous option. But until it does, you've got to go like a banshee and just, you know, attack, attack, attack. And you can't do it with one guy. If one guy goes, it's easy just to make a pass and all of a sudden they're set up. You need two guys to go hurry the puck carrier. When he moves it, you hurry the next guy. And then when a back's turned or you see numbers against the board, you know, you have two or three guys over there fighting for that puck and then getting it down the ice and then getting the next line over there, because that, you know, it exerts a lot of energy on the penalty kill because it's stop, start, battle, and then get that puck down and then get those fresh legs and do it all over again. And I think, again, it goes hand in hand. If you're a team that wants to play hard and the way that the Preds want to play, I think a penalty kill is a great thing to hang your hat on. You know, essentially, it's just as important as the power play. Keeping goals out is just as important as scoring goals. So, you know, considering the start they got off, they gave up power play goals on their first two penalty kills. They've been stellar ever since.
We're talking to Chris Mason, Predators analyst on Bally Sports, with Willie as the Predators get their first win of the season last night against the LA Kings. Dante Fabbro, I made the comment to Darren during the game. I like that he's playing some with Josi. I think that's a good combination. But Fabbro has responded well to not playing in the playoffs. Still, you know, obviously some learning and things that they're trying to do with him. But I know John Hines has liked the work ethic. What have you seen out of Fabbro thus far?
Yeah, I mean, he started on the third pair, right? And I thought the first game he was okay. But that second game, I thought even before he was put with Josi, I thought there's some jam and some fire to his game, and that's the one thing that, you know, they really want with Dante Fabbro is to, you know, be a little harder in the defensive zone, and he's got that capability. They wouldn't, you know, obviously be asking that if they hadn't seen it or know he could do it. But he's also, you know, since he's been with Josi, you're starting to see some of his offensive instincts. And we know that he was such a great offensive player in college. And then when he first came up with the Preds, he's starting to get that back. He's starting to get confidence. And that's the biggest thing. And any athlete in any sport will tell you, confidence is everything. These guys all have the ability. He has the ability to be a really good player in this league, a really solid defenseman. And he's able to
contribute on both ends of the ice. And I think, you know, with you found a combination, Carrier, I think, and Ekholm have been great together as well. And you have Josi and Fabro. And one thing John Hines often comments about, and you see this if you watch closely, is a lot of times, you know, a partner that plays with Josi just defers to him. You know, it's the easy thing, just give the puck to Josi, and you can't do wrong. But, you know, it doesn't always work out that way. And if you have a partner that plays with them that's able to play their game as well, well, in turn, that'll open up space for Josi to do his thing once you do give the puck to him. So I think Fabs is doing a really good job of finding that balance and that grit and that physicality in the defensive zone and not being a liability out there, but being a strength. And it's confidence, and you can see he's got a lot of it right now.
Last one for you, Mace. With David Rittich on the COVID list, Connor Ingram was recalled, and even though Juice has been playing and playing well, like you talked about earlier, he's still going through warm-ups. He's practicing with the team, and there's a chance that, you know, if Rittich is still on the COVID list this weekend, he probably is going to get a chance to play. How beneficial is it to a young goaltender like Ingram to simply just be around going through those things with the team at the NHL level?
It's huge. And, you know, just to build relationships with the guys, and, you know, the guys get to see, you know, Ingram in practice, his work ethic, and kind of build that trust and see what they're doing. When you do get in a game, it's not as foreign to you. So you're comfortable in that environment. And I think, you know, they've got no issue if Ingram has to play. I really like him as a goaltender, and I know Ben Vanderklok, and I think the coaching staff as well, you know, he had a great training camp. He was great in the exhibition that he played. And I think that, you know, if he has to go in at some point, which, you know, Rittich's going to play at some point or Ingram's going to play at some point, I don't think they have any problem with Connor Ingram. I think he's a very talented goaltender that will eventually see a lot of time in the National Hockey League.
Interesting stuff. As always, thanks for doing this. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks, too. Mace. See you, Mace. Chris Mason every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. We'll come back more on the other side here of Darren, Donick, and Chase. Speaking of Chase, I bet you can tell us about MGM.
You bet correctly, Darren. You can get your payout before the game's out with BetMGM. It's a very simple process of what you can do on Thursday night. Just make a money line wager on any Thursday night game, and if your team is up by 10 or more points at the half, you win. That's a full payout for only half the game, no matter what happens the rest of the way. All you have to do is go to your BetMGM account, opt in each week to the Thursday night halftime payout promotion, and there you go. It's as simple as that. If you want to continue wagering in the third quarter, you can keep it rolling with BetMGM's extensive live betting options. If you need to go to bed early, you can use your winnings to place a one-game parlay on Sunday and go for gridiron glory. If you're new to BetMGM, download the app today and see how you can turn halftime into cash time. Make a moneyline bet on Thursday night, and if your team is up by 10 or more, you'll win at the half. Only at BetMGM. Opt-in required, must be 21 years or older, must be in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for a full list of terms and conditions. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.